The Speaker of the Nova Scotia House of Assembly grants permission to record the televised proceedings of the legislature for use in schools and for other purposes, such as private study, research, review, or newspaper summary. Television and radio broadcasters may make use of recorded excerpts of the televised proceedings in their news or public affairs programs for the purposes of fair and accurate reports of proceedings. Program material may not be used for political party advertising, election campaigns, or any other politically partisan activity. Any other commercial use or rebroadcast of these televised proceedings requires the express written approval of the Speaker.
As it's 9:05 right now, I'd like to get the meeting begun. We're here this morning with the Public Accounts Committee, and this is our first meeting of the Public Accounts Committee that has met in the last number of months, so I'm wondering if the members could introduce themselves, beginning with Ms. Conrad.
Thank you.
I believe you're sitting in for someone today, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Vicki Conrad, Queens.
Becky Kent, Cole Harbour Eastern Passage.
Leonard Pereira, Halifax Citadel, Sable Island.
Keith Caldwell, MLA Preston.
Chris Dontremont, MLA for Argyle, sitting in for the MLA for Cape Breton North.
Chuck Porter, MLA for Hans West.
I'm Diana Whalen. I'm chair of the committee in MLA for Halifax Clayton Park.
Darlene Henry, committee clerk.
Karen Kinley, Office of Legislative Council.
Neil Ferguson, Office of the Legislative Council.
Alan Hargan, Deputy Auditor General.
Thank you very much. That's wonderful. And this morning, as I said, is the first meeting of our, a full meeting of our Public Accounts Committee. And we are the only committee of the legislature that meets here in the legislature on a regular basis. Our meetings are televised and we meet almost weekly. This again is a committee that is different than the others because it is chaired by a member of the opposition. We don't have that in any of our other committees. And this morning on your agenda, I'll see that I've asked both our Ledge Council and the Office of the Auditor General to give us a little update on their role as it pertains to this committee. So we will get to that as well. There's a package of information that's been left with each member because we have some new members on the committee as well and some new members to the legislature. And we wanted to make sure that everybody had the mandate and background of the committee as well. So our legislative committee's office has prepared a package for the members. And those of you that are sitting in could perhaps share it with the others that are not here today. I think that's important. Normally our meetings will be 2 hours, but this is an unusual one because we haven't had our list of witnesses set up in advance. So last week on the 2nd, we had our first meeting, which was the Agenda Setting and Procedures Committee. And that committee has come forward with a list of five topics, and I believe we expect that to take 6 weeks. The first topic on the list is pandemic preparedness, and it follows the Auditor General's report that came out in July of this year, and so we're following up on that. It includes a lot of recommendations, but also had touched on many areas. So the committee's recommendation was that we hear not only from Health Promotion and Protection, but also from the Emergency Measures Organization, which could be two separate meetings. That's how it's presented to you today. So I wonder if you've had a chance to look at the list, if we could have a motion to perhaps Mr. Caldwell.
I would move the list as presented, items 1 through 5.
Okay, very good. Can we have a seconder for that? Thank you, Mr. Porter. So is there any discussion on the list of agenda items? Hearing none, then I'll just call for a vote of the committee so that we can have that endorsed. So all those in favor?
Aye.
Contrary-minded? None. So that is, in fact, our first list, and that will take us 6 weeks is our intention. That will take us through 6 weeks of the committee meetings. In addition to that, and there's a note on your agenda as well, referring to a couple of other things. We had a request, by the CCAF, which is an organization. I think we've got Darlene has included with it the little description of it. The CCAF is a nonprofit Canadian research and education foundation dedicated to increasing knowledge about governance, management, audit, and accountability in the public sector. So that organization has provided training to other public accounts across Canada. And in fact, when we looked at it, they've been here in Nova Scotia on a couple of occasions. 2001, I think, was one time, 2003, and in May 2005. And on those occasions, they've spoken to members of the legislature about governance and this committee. So what they have offered is to come and do a one-day training program for members of the Public Accounts Committee and any other members of the legislature that would like to attend. And I think often other members do sit in, so it would be of value to any member of the legislature. And the committee discussed it last week. We like the idea, and we also think it's important to mention that our own Auditor General, Jacques Lapointe, is a member of the board, just a recent member of the board of CCAF. So in that regard, too, we would like to be able to make use of that organization and its knowledge. So I'm just looking to see if there's agreement from the committee members to go forward with that. If we're doing it, we would do it outside of the House sitting. We'd like to do it as soon as, sometime this fall, but after the House is no longer sitting. So all in favor of that? Everybody's in favor? No comments? Okay, good. I think that's fine. And we'll go forward with that. Our first meeting of the committee is intended to be after we return from the CCPAC, which is the Canadian Council of Public Accounts Committees. And we have some representation from this province, including our clerk, Darlene Henry, who will be attending that and talking to other public accounts members from across the country. That happens next week. So we're looking at the 23rd as the start date for this agenda. Provided we can get people lined up for those dates. We will continue to meet as the House is sitting. I think that's the important message for those of us present today. So that's very good. Again, we've passed the motion, so that's fine. We've got that in order. I had also asked today if the support people for our committee are very important, and I've asked if both the Legislative Council office and our Auditor General's office would give us a brief rundown on their role and how they interact with this committee and how the committee supports the work of governance and just good practice in the province of Nova Scotia. And I thought that would be particularly important because we do have new members, and I think even for those of us who sat on the committee for some time, it's important to remember the oversight role of this committee and the importance of it in terms of the governance and management of the province. So with that said, I'd like to ask, perhaps we'll start with our Legislative Council Sorry, Mr. Pereira.
Thank you, Madam Chair. But before we go on, I notice in the witness list that we've got the Department of Health Promotion and Protection, but I think we had agreed that the Auditor General would make a brief presentation, give us an overview, and the Department of Health would also be on that list.
As witnesses?
Yes.
Yeah. We did discuss that, and that is just fine. I don't think there'll be any objection to that. We felt that since the auditor's report came in the summer and our committee didn't have its normal opportunity, which normally we would have an in-camera and another public session with the Auditor General, that we would have just allowing 10 minutes or so for the Auditor General to introduce the subject to us. So, I think that makes good sense in this regard. And to have among the witnesses the Department of Health, I think would be fine in case some of our questions go to that department. So right. I'll leave that with Darlene to make sure that we have that done. Thanks so much. So with that aside, and that agenda now being in place, I'd like to see if we could have a few words from our Legislative Council. And Mr. Hebb does send his regrets today. Normally he would be here, but there's a conflicting time.
Yeah. Actually, he's sick. The other conflict was resolved, but
all right.
So you still get me.
Very good. Well, thank you, Mr. Ferguson, if you would take a few minutes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, I'm Neil Ferguson from the Office of the Legislative Council. We are the lawyers for the House of Assembly, and that's how we end up providing support to this committee. There are four lawyers in the office. For a number of years, you may know we've been operating with only three, and I'd just like to take this opportunity to introduce again Karen Kinley. For those of you who were not here earlier to meet her, Karen is the newest lawyer in our office, and we're all very happy to have her with us. Our office, like the Auditor General, is independent. We are independent of the government. We're independent of any other party. we carry out, in addition to the drafting of legislation, we carry out what are the roles of what was used to be known before 1941 in Nova Scotia as the law clerk. So we are both legislative counsel, working on legislation, and parliamentary counsel, providing legal advice and procedural advice to the House and its committees. We run some of the committees, such as law amendments and private and local bills, but our role for the other committees is to provide whatever support we are asked to provide. So as such, we don't necessarily attend all meetings of committees. We won't necessarily see us at every Public Accounts Committee meeting unless we're asked to be here. Some committees don't ask us to attend very often at all. We tend, I think, to appear here in a support role more often than a lot of the other committees, except maybe Human Resources. We provide, as I said, legal advice on things such as the privileges of the House, and especially as those relate to the committees. We are called on to deal with subpoenas if a committee wants to compel a person to attend, and also we provide advice on the compelling or the production of documents and materials that the committee needs to do its work. We have, over the last couple of years, done a number of fairly big opinions on those items. So if any of the members want, if they're not already in your materials, we can certainly provide you with copies of those so that you can see the steps that are followed when you want to subpoena somebody or compel somebody, and who can and can't be subpoenaed by the committee, that type of information. Again, our client is the House overall, so while we do provide assistance and advice to individual members, we're not the lawyers for the individual members. Our solicitor-client relationship is with, you know, the House of Assembly, and we tend not to get into, if we can, disputes between members, obviously. Usually when we prepare an opinion, it's requested through the chair of the committee. That seems to be the more formal process. But we are always available. Anyone can call us at any time. And we have some Blackberries if you need to reach us in off hours. But I believe that summarizes our role with respect to this committee and the others, unless there's any questions.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions at all from the committee members today? No? All right. I think then I will ask that Mr. Horgan from the Auditor General's office give us a little overview of the important role that we have, you know, and relationship that we have between this committee and your office. Thank you, Mr. Horgan.
Thank you, and good morning to you all. First of all, I'd like to pass on the regrets of the Auditor General. He would have very much liked to have been here this morning, but he is out of province at the moment. So it's my pleasure to fill in. I believe you all should have a one-page summary of my comments, as well as a little information card that the office prepared a few years ago just to explain the mandate of the Office of the Auditor General. My comments this morning are going to be relating to our role with the role of our office in general, the relationship of our office with the Public Accounts Committee. I'm going to have a few comments on reporting by the Auditor General and briefly mention some other services that our office provides to the Public Accounts Committee. First and foremost, the role of the Auditor General is legislated. There is an Auditor General Act. It goes all the way back to 1973. At this moment, we are pursuing some major revisions to our legislation, and the Auditor General has been dealing with the Legislation Review Committee on this matter. Actually, that began just last week. Our role is to provide assurance to the House of Assembly and the public concerning the operations of government, the use of public funds, and the integrity of government's financial and performance reporting. We do that by conducting audits of financial statements, governance and control systems throughout government, compliance with legislation and policy, as well as audits of efficiency, economy, and effectiveness, quite often referred to as value for money. To fulfill this role, it is very, very critical that we remain independent from government. Just as mentioned about Legislative Council, our office as well is an office of the House of Assembly. We are not an agency of government. Our act provides us certain means of maintaining this independence. And independence is a key tenet of all auditing standards throughout the world, in Canada and international. Auditing is not considered to be valid unless it's performed by someone independent of the entity being audited. So for our office to provide any value to the House and to the public, we must be not only independent, but seen to be independent. With respect to our relationship with the Public Accounts Committee, the committee is the means by which the Auditor General interacts with the House, because the House is our client. And as I'll mention, we provide our reports to the House of Assembly. However, of course, we can't have an ongoing dialogue with the House of Assembly in that format. However, we can use the Public Accounts Committee as a subset of the House of Assembly in order to have that kind of dialogue and provide information and service to the House. So the Auditor General exists to serve the accountability relationship between government and the and legislators, which, by the way, is also a big role of the Public Accounts Committee. So our roles have a significant, overlapping purpose. Reporting by the Auditor General, we report to the House, as I mentioned, generally twice a year. We normally put out a report in the spring, a report in the fall. The dates can change based on the progress of our audits. In fact, our next report is due to be tabled or deemed tabled if the House is not in session on December the 9th. As well, we sometimes issue a special report if the matter that we're reporting on is very time sensitive, something that really shouldn't wait until our next normally scheduled audit report. This was in fact the case with regard to our audit of pandemic planning, where we issued a special report on July 30th because we didn't think it's appropriate to wait till December because of the sensitivity of the whole topic. And being able to report to the House earlier might mean getting some of our recommendations underway earlier. Our office is always available to the Public Accounts Committee to brief them on our reports, either shortly before or shortly after they're tabled or deemed tabled, which when I say shortly before or after, I mean on that day. And then it's standard practice of this committee to hold a session subsequent to the day of our tabling to publicly question the Auditor General of the whole topic. And being able to report to the House earlier might mean getting some of our recommendations underway earlier. Our office is always available to the Public Accounts Committee to brief them on our reports, either shortly before or shortly after they're tabled or deemed tabled, which when I say shortly before or after, I mean on that day. And then it's standard practice of this committee to hold a session subsequent to the day of our tabling to publicly question the Auditor General of the whole topic. And being able to report to the House earlier might mean getting some of our recommendations underway earlier. Our office is always available to the Public Accounts Committee to brief them on our reports, either shortly before or shortly after they're tabled or deemed tabled, which when I say shortly before or after, I mean on that day. And then it's standard practice of this committee to hold a session subsequent to the day of our tabling to publicly question the Auditor General of the whole topic. And being able to report to the House earlier might mean getting some of our recommendations underway earlier. Our office is always available to the Public Accounts Committee to brief them on our reports, either shortly before or shortly after they're tabled or deemed tabled, which when I say shortly before or after, I mean on that day. And then it's standard practice of this committee to hold a session subsequent to the day of our tabling to publicly question the Auditor General of the whole topic. And being able to report to the House earlier might mean getting some of our recommendations underway earlier. Our office is always available to the Public Accounts Committee to brief them on our reports, either shortly before or shortly after they're tabled or deemed tabled, which when I say shortly before or after, I mean on that day. And then it's standard practice of this committee to hold a session subsequent to the day of our tabling to publicly question the Auditor General of the whole topic. And being able to report to the House earlier might mean getting some of our recommendations underway earlier. Our office is always available to the Public Accounts Committee to brief them on our reports, either shortly before or shortly after they're tabled or deemed tabled, which when I say shortly before or after, I mean on that day. And then it's standard practice of this committee to hold a session subsequent to the day of our tabling to publicly question the Auditor General of the whole topic. And being able to report to the House earlier might mean getting some of our recommendations underway earlier. Our office is always available to the Public Accounts Committee to brief them on our reports, either shortly before or shortly after they're tabled or deemed tabled, which when I say shortly before or after, I mean on that day. And then it's standard practice of this committee to hold a session subsequent to the day of our tabling to publicly question the Auditor General of the whole topic. And being able to report to the House earlier might mean getting some of our recommendations underway earlier. Our office
on it, we have a much more structured committee than many of the others said, and I think you could clearly say more than any other committee in the legislature, in that we do allot time in a very structured manner, the 20 minutes for each caucus in the first round of questioning, and the second round, whatever time is left, we divide equally between the three caucuses, and we allow opening and closing statements for our witnesses, and that will remain the same, so those of you who have been here before or have followed it will be comfortable with that. So are there any questions or any comments on that? If not, we'll look for a motion to adjourn, and our next meeting will be on the 23rd of September. We'll be dealing with pandemic planning. Motion, thank you very much. Yes, and we are adjourned.
This podcast was previously aired on Legislative Television.